Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Wrestle Chat Radio's Fast Lane Review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be running down last night's Fast Lane event, pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, as I do every time there is a Raw, there's a SmackDown, or there's a pay-per-view event, I scour to see what the general consensus of the fan base is. And oftentimes, we don't see eye to eye on how good or bad or what kind of merit these have. And I'm probably going to disappoint some people today because I'm not going to be as hard on this pay-per-view as some people seem to be. And I'll tell you why. Was this a great, great pay-per-view? No, it wasn't. Was it a horrible pay-per-view? No, it wasn't. What this actually was is a pay-per-view that laid some groundwork that should have been laid a long time ago. I agree with that. But still, it laid some groundwork for potential. And I can't really judge where this is going to go based on just the groundwork it laid. But I can't fault them for laying the groundwork. It would be like looking at a building with just its foundation and saying it's going to be an ugly building or it's going to be a great building. I don't know. What I do know is they've laid the foundation for some things that could potentially be good. How they choose to handle it, now that they've laid that foundation, is totally up to them. It could end up an abject disaster. It could end up great. This pay-per-view didn't decide that. All it decided was the groundwork. But before we get started dissecting last night's show, let's talk just briefly about the pre-show, because I do have a pet peeve here. I realize that Sam Roberts is a huge broadcaster in the wrestling blog area. He is also a very annoying man. And if he's going to get on that panel and try to play a heel, somebody better tell him he is not a professional wrestler. He is not a manager. He is not an actor. And he just ends up being annoying. And not in a good way. He just ends up being annoying in a, you add nothing to the show and you're just annoying sort of way. And I know there's probably a lot of fans of his out there that's going to say, I don't care. He's an annoying dude, okay? If he wants to get on that panel and simply be himself, I'm all for it. When you're going to try to play a character, that's not your job. Even if they told him to do it, it's not his job. It's not fitting what they need. You want to get a heel in there, get somebody in there. Somebody in there knows what they're doing. Not a guy cosplaying. So that's annoying. Now, they changed the card a little bit, didn't they? Because we originally had Andrade Cien Almas. I'm going to keep on saying that. Versus Rey Mysterio, and that was changed. The powers that be probably scratched their head and said, you know, it does look really bad that we don't have either the U.S. or the Intercontinental Champion at our pay-per-view, last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. Maybe we should do something about that. Yeah, you think? So they had what I thought was a really good segment backstage where Carmella literally is going around asking people to sign a petition to get R-Truth a rematch, since there's no automatic rematch clause anymore. Now, whoever wrote this particular skit did a really good job, and I'll tell you why they did. First off, this is Carmella's wheelhouse. Being a little bit weird, a little bit flighty, a little bit off the charts, that's what she does best. They put a person, I don't know who that person was, in front of her, clearly blocking Selena Vega, so the camera could not see that Selena Vega is there. And then when that woman leaves, you see Selena Vega behind her saying, "I'm not signing the damn thing." And it gets into a verbal altercation between her and Carmella, to which she says, "R-Truth is not the champion. There's no automatic rematch. Andrade should get it." To which Carmella says, "Well, I don't know. He's the one that got pinned. Why should the guy that got pinned be the guy that gets a rematch?" Verbal altercation takes place. Samoa Joe comes out and basically says, "Look, it doesn't matter. They all want their title shot. They can have their title shot." And then he signs the petition and walks away. And we are told we are going to have a four-way for the U.S. belt. Now, my initial reaction is I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked to have seen Andrade Cien Almas and Rey Mysterio do 20 minutes by themselves or 15 minutes by themselves. But I can't really fault this decision because in the grand scheme of things, the U.S. belt should matter more than Andrade and Rey Mysterio's feud. And storyline-wise, they should be willing to say, "Oh, we're getting a title shot? That's better. That's much better than just settling our feud." So, and it gets a couple of, you know, it gets a couple of more guys in there, doesn't it? It gets your U.S. champion, and it also gets R-Truth onto the pay-per-view, as well as Carmella and Selena Vega. So, everything's good there. Now, here's more good news. This was a very good match. And the interesting thing about it is, as you're going through the participants, you're saying, "Wow, you know, R-Truth is kind of the sore thumb here. He's out of place." You have Rey Mysterio with his lucha high flying. You have Samoa Joe with his judo technical MMA sort of style. You have Andrade Cien Almas with a mixture of both. And then you have R-Truth who, you know, right now he's cosplaying John Cena. But it worked perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. I thought they did a really good job. The annoying thing is, we have 1 hour on the pre-show for commercials, Yamaha commercials, and every other kind of commercial, and you have to interrupt this match twice? Why do you have to do that? You have an hour. Nobody's interrupting Sam Roberts when he's flapping his gums. But when the real athletes are out there, "Oh, we got to interrupt this for a commercial of a pay-per-view that you're just about to watch anyway." Or a Yamaha motorcycle commercial. We're paying for this. I know you can get the pre-show free, but it doesn't matter. You should designate the pre-show match time to just being the match. No commercial breaks. It's ridiculous. But a really good match all around. The right guy wins, of course. You're not going to switch the belts now. Samoa Joe beats Rey Mysterio, and I think this is the right move. A lot of people said, "Well, you know, it's a shame how they're treating Rey." Well, listen, Rey's at that stage of his career where this is probably the best use of Rey Mysterio. You don't want to pin R-Truth right now because then that kind of puts any rematch possibility, even though it seems lopsided, off the table. Almas is a guy you want to try to keep as strong as you can. So I think all the right moves were made here, and I think it was a good match overall, Mike. I'm just a little annoyed that they have to keep interrupting it on a pre-show.
Right. You're right on this, Marcus. But here's something else that they did. They continue to tease us with a feud between Vega and Carmella.
Yes.
That's another good thing that came out of that.
I agree with you 100%. That's another branch on the tree. And that's why I'm saying this was actually a very good move. You were not going to get anything out of Rey Mysterio versus Andrade Cien Almas other than a really great match. You still got a great match. Plus, you got these branches on the tree. R-Truth still doesn't have a one-on-one rematch. Andrade Cien Almas still looks strong to an extent, and you teased Zelina Vega versus Carmella, which could be really good, or maybe a tag team, mixed tag team of some kind. At least you got some branches on the tree. You utilized, we always tell fans, utilize your roster to the very, very best you can. This is a classic example of utilizing your roster in the best way you can. You've got your U.S. champion out there made to look strong. You've got R-Truth and Carmella, the former champions out there. R-Truth does not get pinned, so he still looks deserving of a rematch, and Carmella and Zelina Vega look like they're going to feud. Those are the ways you utilize to the best. And you got, again, you've got a U.S. champion looking good. So these are the way you utilize your roster to the best of its ability. Now, I do agree with fans who wrote me and said, is this what we're going to always do now? Because the WWE has such a big roster, every other match is going to be a four-man, six-man, nine-person. Yeah, I know. That is annoying. And yeah, you're going to get a lot of that. And that's exactly why, because the roster's so big. But in this particular instance, Todd, I think it worked, and I think it worked well.
Oh, you're absolutely right here. Like you said, it's. I think it will work well, too. And at the last minute, it was a good idea to put the U.S. title match on the pre-show. But one thing I don't like is those commercials during the matches.
Yeah, I don't know why they do it, because like I said, you have an hour to put those commercials wherever you want. Can you not rearrange those so that we can get the match and only the match? I think you probably could if you want to. Okay, well, let's jump right into this, shall we? We open up with The Miz and Shane versus The Usos. And this kind of went exactly as we thought it was going to go, didn't it? I don't really have a problem with this match, and I don't really have a problem with the ending of this match. The Usos are going to go into WrestleMania, the tag team champions. That's a good idea. Shane and The Miz were always put together to break up. We've said this since day one. Given that it's The Miz's hometown, I suppose the best move was to make Shane the heel, even though I kind of was rooting for The Miz to go back to the heel persona that I most enjoy him in, but I'm okay with it. The only problem, if I do have one, is when a wrestling angle works best is when everyone involved in it does their job perfectly. That includes referees. That includes anybody who's running in. Anyone who has anything to do with the angle has to do it really well. And I realize he's not a wrestler, and I realize he's not a celebrity, but The Miz's dad did a horrible job. And I'll tell you why he did a horrible job. Because despite the fact that no one would believe that he would be able to beat up Shane McMahon or anything like that, if your son was being waylaid like that, you're not just going to sit there expressionless and be like, okay, didn't expect that one. There were fans that were madder than him. He should have been outraged. People should have been having to hold him back from jumping over the railing. That's the point. You should have had people there and say, look, try to get over the barricade. People are going to hold you back. You should be calling me every name in the book. You should be red-faced and screaming. Not just standing there going, yep. Oh, well, that lessened the impact of what happened tremendously. Sorry to tell you. Again, you'll have to forgive him. He's not an actor and he's not a professional wrestler. And they put him in a situation where they didn't know how well he would do, and he didn't do well. He didn't do well at all. And for that reason, this was less believable than it should have been. A great reaction by The Miz's dad would have sold this, would have brought this home. and it didn't happen. So while this match was designed for no other purpose except Shane McMahon's turn, I don't think it was as effective as it could have been, Mike, and I do think most of the blame has to go to the fact that they didn't coach the Miz's dad good enough on what his reaction should be.
Right, you're right on that. Let's take a look at this situation versus the AJ Styles, his wife and kid situation, you know, and their reactions to what AJ Styles was doing, you know.
Right.
And I mean, we basically praise that kid who's all of 3 years old for doing what she did, you know.
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't they? I mean, this is a guy who's in his, what, 60 now, Mrs. Dad?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know, but he's been around wrestling forever. He doesn't know that he has to get mad.
Yeah, he doesn't know that. I mean, and if he did know, then why didn't somebody? If he knows, if you're supposed to know that you're part of the angle, why didn't they? If he didn't know he was part of the angle, then why didn't they tell him you're part of the angle?
He knew it. He knew it. He got stage fright or whatever. He knows the camera's on him. This guy should have been red-faced screaming, "You son of a!" They should have had to bleep him. He should have been trying to get over the railing at one point and have people holding him back, security or something, saying, "You can't go." That's what should have happened. If this had not been in the Miz's hometown, where the Miz was really over, this would have fell really flat because of that. It was saved because it was the Miz's hometown. And the fans reacted well. Because if this had been anywhere else, fans would have been like, "Oh, yeah, well." And then without Mr. Miz saving it, think about it. If that's your son, whether he's an athlete or not, and that happens after everything he's been through, you're not going to react in a possibly irrational way. I want to see that guy red-faced, screaming, yelling. Tell the guys, be ready with the bleep button, guys, because we're going to let him drop some bombs. We're going to let Shane drop some bombs right back at him. I mean, that's just the way it should have been. You could have made a lot more out of this than you did. It was still okay, but I don't think they got all of it that they should have gotten, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's when I watched that match at the end with Shane McMahon attacked the Miz, when I saw the acting, was like, this is not great acting right there. It's like, not. It was terrible.
It's the Miz's dad that really. It's just. They should have done a dry run of this or something. They really should have. They should have said, "Look, you really do have to scream at me and yell at me and get red faced and we're gonna have to hit the bleep button a couple times. Try to get over the barricade. Security's gonna come and hold you back. Eventually, they'll let you go over the barricade. Even when he's at the Miz's side, he's just kind of holding his hand like, this is what I was told to do. I'm just standing here. He's not saying anything to him. You know, he should be right in his face saying, are you okay? Are you all right? The son of a bitch. You know, that kind of thing. No, he's just like, okay, here I am, and I'm just standing here holding his hand. This is usually what happens when you get people involved that really don't have experience in these type of things. And it just wasn't handled that well. So it was less effective than it should or could have been. But again, we knew it was coming. It came. It was okay. So now let's get to the Mandy Rose versus Asuka match. Now, I will tell you this. I know Corey Graves is trying to do his best Bobby Heenan impersonation and be, you know, interesting and entertaining, but this whole thing with the Mandy Rose obsession is getting stupid and a little weird, and it detracts a lot from the match. They need to ease up on that a little bit. When the whole match is arguing back and forth between announcers about Mandy Rose and you're missing the moves, it's time to reconsider. Now, Mandy Rose, here's what you got to understand. She was the third wheel in Absolution, wasn't she? I mean, Paige would have been the number one. Sonya Deville was the blue chipper with the martial arts background and everything. So Mandy Rose would have been the eye candy. And she is now elevated to, you know, this position where she's the one getting the match against Asuka. And Sonya Deville's at ringside. And I don't know if there was a mix-up at first where she's looking under the ring and that she thought that was the end or whatever, because she pulled nothing out the first time. Or she was just showing the crowd she's looking for something and that's going to come to play later. I'm not sure. It was a weird moment. I'm not sure about that at all. The match itself was kind of what you expected it to be. It was not a great match. Asuka mostly dominated. And then the end comes when Sonya Deville flips up the ring apron, looking for a weapon, looking for the kendo stick, and Mandy Rose trips, supposedly, on the ring apron, coming off the ropes, and gets pinned. This leads to Sonya Deville realizing she screwed up, trying to apologize to Mandy Rose, will have none of it. And I guess this is okay, because, again, it's another branch on a tree, but it is two in a row, isn't it? I mean, we just got to see Shane and The Miz kind of fall out, and now we're seeing a lesser fallout very next match. And it's kind of just a rehashing of what they did before with Sonya and Mandy. And I look, this is probably going to lead to a match. It might even lead to a match at WrestleMania. I don't know. But at least it's something. I can't fault them. I can't fault them for trying to find something to do with people who, I mean, what would they have done? Let's just say Mandy Rose loses and there's no storyline involved. Where do they go from here? With either one of them. What's next for Sonya Deville, who's done nothing? What's next for Mandy Rose, who reached the apex of a title shot and lost? Not much. So then we'd be on the show complaining, well, they didn't set anything up for either one of these girls, and now they're just going to be backstage. Well, at least they tried. Whether you're interested in the match or you're not interested in the match, at least they tried, Mike.
Yeah, and that's the thing. What have we been saying the first for a long time? It just seems like the WWE has not been trying, even trying. Even if it does fall flat, at least try. At least show some effort. And this was showing some effort at something here. You know, now if Paige was healthy or whatever, you could throw her into it, and you know, and one of these things where you don't want to see them break up, and she comes in and talks sense into them if Paige was healthy. But
right.
At least they're trying. At least they were trying here.
Yeah, and that's my point. I'm not going to kill them for trying because I've been killing them for not trying. So whether it's a great effort or not, you're not going to hit a home run if you keep the bat on your shoulder. So swing for the fences, see what happens. If you foul it off, you tried. Now, we didn't talk about the actual pre-show match of the New Day versus Rusev and Nakamura for good reason, but we should have talked about Kofi Kingston being called backstage, supposedly to talk about the title match tonight. The reason we did not talk about the opening match on the pre-show is because I've just about had enough of thrown together tag teams that ruin the solo careers of the people involved. Name me a tag team that the WWE has thrown together in this last year that weren't an official tag team, whose careers have benefited and their solo careers were at least elongated by it. You had arguably one of the most over people in the Federation in Rusev. You were selling tons of Rusev Day merchandise. The crowd was chanting Rusev Day. Nakamura completely over as a face, completely over as a heel. Right up there with the top in the title picture. And now, those two guys, individually, great, are relegated to be a tag team that's losing to the New Day on the pre-show of a minor pay-per-view. And this is why I am worried about Aleister Black and Ricochet. Because Aleister Black and Ricochet can quickly become Nakamura and Rusev. It's a perfect analogy. They don't really belong together. They have nothing in common. They both are better solo, but we don't have anything to do with you right now, so let's throw you together. And then 3 months down the road, it's, oh, well, you're dropping on a pre-show. So if you're an Aleister Black and a Ricochet fan, yes, they're doing great and the fans are getting behind them, but the fans were behind Rusev, too. The fans were behind Nakamura, too. The fans were behind Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. These are guys you just threw together as a team and then did nothing with them. Oh, you give them the belt, but then giving them the belt means nothing anymore. It used to be that's your ultimate thing as well. They won the belt, so they are definitely utilized well. Would you say that Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy were utilized well? And at least they belong together in weird characterization, but they threw them together as a team. Were they utilized well? No. Rusev and Nakamura, are they being utilized well for the talents that they have? No. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, are they being used well for the talents they have? No. The B team got thrown together as a tag team. Are they utilized well? No. When you throw together a tag team that wasn't always a tag team, it doesn't seem like the WWE does very well with you. They ran for a while with Sheamus and Cesaro, but Sheamus and Cesaro are now doing what? So anyway, Kofi Kingston goes back, and then the New Day come out, and they win their match. Rusev and Nakamura looked like they were really just, let me go through the motions and get my ass the hell out of Ohio. And I don't blame them. I don't know what more they can really do. You have a guy who's a legend in Japan and a former NXT champion. And arguably one of the most over guys this entire year in WWE and the year before even. Nothing. Nothing. Now Elias comes out and he does a couple of songs. I won't talk too much about that. I guess that's what Elias is regulated to now. God forbid you have a match. You just come out and be a troubadour who sings about the last match you saw. Yeah, they get that one moment in there where Elias gets a RKO out of nowhere. I don't know why. I thought Randy Orton was a bad guy, but okay. And then that was just to get AJ Styles involved. Okay. I don't know what that was all about. It didn't go over. Absolutely did not go over. So anyway, Kofi's the first guy out because Mr. McMahon tells him you're in a triple threat match and your match starts now. There's going to be a triple threat match for the title. Your match starts now, and out comes Kofi. And to everyone's surprise, the announcer says, well, the title match is going to be later on tonight. This is actually a two-on-one handicap match, and out come the bar. Now, there's an awful lot of people who said, this is where the show went to shit. And I'm going to tell you why I disagree. First, let me give you their argument. They said the crowd was promised something, and then they took it back. And fans were chanting, this is boring, and all kinds of things during the match, which was basically the bar beating the hell out of Kofi. New Day tries to come down and make the save, and I guess because Sheamus and Nakamura hadn't managed to get into their shower yet, they came down and waylaid them. And fans are upset. Fans are upset because they're saying, well, this is bullshit. We were promised Kofi Kingston. We thought we were going to get him, and we didn't. Well, here's why this isn't bullshit. or at least potentially isn't bullshit. This is the way wrestling operates. They want to make you want to see Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan so badly that it's when you do see it, it's special. And that'll be WrestleMania. So everything they did was correct. They swerved the fans. That's correct. They made Kofi take an awful beatdown, which he normally would have gotten. Let's face it, a guy his size is not going two-on-one with the bar and winning. So that's very believable. They made Vince McMahon out to be a villain who's trying his best to squash Kofi Kingston's popularity and his rise to the top, which is exactly what the fans want Kofi to do. So that's a good thing. So really, all of these things are the right move. Fans can get upset if they want to, but you got to go through the storyline. You can't watch the first episode of Game of Thrones, and because the guy you hate ain't getting what's coming to him, you're not going to watch it anymore. That's not the way it works. They're trying to tell a story, and a longer one. And I believe that the story's going to go like this. Vince McMahon either A, doesn't want Kofi Kingston to succeed, and is putting every obstacle in his way because he does not feel Kofi is a draw. He does not feel Kofi is a guy who, if he wins the belt, would sell tickets, would be high profile. You can read into this. He doesn't want the world's first black heavyweight champion as well, if you want. But I think ultimately the story is going to be that Vince McMahon wanted to motivate Kofi Kingston, to make him want it bad enough. I think that's probably what they'll do with it. However, we are running the risk of one thing. If you tell this story, Kofi Kingston has to win. Ultimately, there has to be a payoff. In wrestling, there's a payoff. If you tell a long, complicated story and then there's no payoff for the fans then rightfully do feel cheated. For instance, if you've told this whole story with Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch and Charlotte, and we've went through months and months and months of this, and it ends with Ronda Rousey tapping out Becky Lynch in 4 minutes and 35 seconds. There's no payoff. And the fans are going to feel cheated and they're going to riot. If you go through this whole thing with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins, and Brock Lesnar F5 Seth Rollins in 2 minutes and 15 seconds, there's going to be a problem. Sometimes when you write a story, you can get away with there not being the payoff the fans want. But when you build and build and build a story, eventually it does have to lead to that payoff. And the way they're building Kofi, nothing less than him winning is going to be acceptable. They can circumvent that now, but if they continue on the path they're continuing, it's not too late to walk it back a little, is what I'm saying. But if you continue on the path you're continuing, the ultimate payoff has to be Kofi Kingston winning. Anything less is going to feel like the fans got cheated. Right now, they're running with the hot ticket. And I know fans feel like they're not running with the hot ticket. But by holding it back and not allowing Kofi to have his shot and all that, they are running with the hot ticket. They're trying to get you behind Kofi even more. So I'm going to have to give the WWE credit for this, because the fans started cheering for Kofi and the WWE called an audible. It wasn't supposed to be this. It was supposed to be Kevin Owens and Bryan at WrestleMania. But the WWE called an audible and said, hey, if this is the guy that's hot, let's run with him. Come up with a convincing storyline, a way we can really make fans wring their hands to see this match. and make it on at WrestleMania, the biggest event of the year. That's the way it should be. So for fans who are saying, oh, it should have been last night. No, it shouldn't have been last night. Absolutely should not have been last night. Not if you're telling the story the right way. But I will agree with you on this. If you're telling the story in this manner and you continue to do it for another month and then Kofi Kingston drops at WrestleMania, then this was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The only way this works down the path you're going is that Kofi Kingston wins. So if you don't want that, WWE, you better cut it off at the heels now before it gets to that point where there is no point and no return. So look, the bar ends up looking a little better for this because certainly they come off as the big heels. Kofi doesn't look good, but a lot of people said, oh man, they made Kofi look awful. He barely got in a punch. I loved it. And I'll tell you why I love it, because that's exactly what would happen. If you think for 1 minute that 211-pound Kofi Kingston, no matter how skilled he is getting in there against Sheamus and Cesaro and beating them, that would have looked ludicrous. You may as well put Sheamus and Cesaro on a bus and send them somewhere. You can't have it. So, Mike, I think they made the right decision here if that's the story they want to tell.
Right. And look, if that's the story they want to tell, they made the right decision. And this decision carries over into we'll get there, but it carries over into what happened, particularly with the crowd, with the championship match.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That whole championship.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get you back there, Mike. Go ahead.
That whole championship match was not about the guys in the ring. It was all about Kofi.
Right. No, I agree with you. And look, if you're a big Kevin Owens fan, that's a shame. Because Kevin Owens was the guy scheduled to have his big WrestleMania match and the big buildup between the, you know, hamburger-eating Kevin Owens and the vegan Daniel Bryan, who's trying to save the earth. It's not going to happen. Because the WWE made a decision to go with the person who was hot. Now, there are people saying, well, that was just Mustafa Ali's spot. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what it was. Kofi Kingston filled in for Mustafa Ali. Everything you see in Kofi Kingston do, not this stuff about not being allowed to have a title shot and all that, that came later. But Kofi Kingston, rise to fame and popularity here, came because he filled in for Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali was supposed to have this match at Fastlane. That would have led to the Kevin Owens match. Mustafa Ali would have gave it a good shot but lost. Then Kevin Owens would have came in and that would have been the next big challenge. But the WWE called an audible on this based on fan reaction. So you have no one else to blame but the fans. The fans want to see Kofi Kingston, then they're going to see Kofi Kingston, but they're not going to see him at Fastlane. The WWE made the right decision. If you're going to see Kofi Kingston, then damn it, you're going to see him at WrestleMania. The problem that the WWE has is if you don't want Kofi to be the champion, you got trouble. Because you can't tell this story and have him lose at WrestleMania. Simple as that. The only way you could tell this story and have him lose at WrestleMania is if the New Day turn on him at WrestleMania. And you've already got enough people turning on enough people. As soon as I saw two matches in a row, Shane turning on The Miz and Mandy Rose and Sonya having their little fallout, I knew there was going to be nothing like that with The Shield. They weren't going to do three of them in one night. Anyway, let's get on to the three-way tag match with the Revival, Bobby Roode, and Chad Gable, and Aleister Black, and Ricochet. Now, these are probably your overall best actual tag teams as far as their ability in the ring, whether they belong as a tag team or not. The Revival obviously do. It's debatable whether Chad Gable and Bobby Roode do, and I think it's extraordinarily debatable whether Ricochet and Aleister Black do. But throw that out the window, obviously these are guys who can get it done in the ring. And they had a really, 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 really solid match. There was only one screw-up I know of, and that was when Ricochet did the move on the outside to, I think it was Dawson. That was a little bit ugly. But aside from that, this was a very good match. And you'd have to be blind not to see that the story they're telling is the toughest team in that match was Black and Ricochet. Yes, the Revival won. But Black and Ricochet still remained looking strong, even at the end, when they beat everybody up. And the Revival get out of there with their belts, which is obviously going to lead to a solo match with the Revival versus Black and Ricochet. Now, my problem isn't with promoting Black and Ricochet. My problem is, if you're going to solidify them as a tag team in the WWE and hand them the titles, I'm worried that they're no different than Roode and Gable, who were thrown together, or Rusev and Nakamura, who were thrown together. And both of those people, after 6 months' time, just dropping matches left and right. A non-factor. And I don't want to see that happen to Ricochet and Aleister Black, because if you can't promote them, then it's over. You may as well close your doors, WWE. If you can't find a way to promote those two individuals, then you can't promote anybody. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith, because you had the most over guy you could possibly think of in Rusev, failed to promote him. One of the legendary guys from Japan in Nakamura failed to promote him correctly. Bobby Roode was on a wave of popularity coming from the NXT, blew it. Couldn't successfully promote him. Elias was getting songs literally sang to him by audiences. Not even in matches anymore. In the same exact position for this year's WrestleMania, he's probably going to, it was last year. His careers went nowhere. Failed to promote him. So time and time again, the WWE's dropping the ball on these people. And when I see these guys in a tag team, I say, well, they think that the tag team division really needs some energy. And it does. But you have other people that you could call up that are qualified tag teams. And I just don't want to see Black and Ricochet fall into the Nakamura and Rusev curse. Or even, to be honest with you, even the Bar curse, where they're on top for a little while, and they're one of the top teams for a little while, but then pretty soon, nobody cares. And I mean, let's face it, do you care what happens to the Bar? I don't think anybody does. And whether it takes a month or 6 months or 8 months, ultimately, when you got a guy like Aleister Black and you got a guy like Ricochet, these should be top guys in your federation for years. Okay, for years, not months. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen to them next week. They're going to be fine. They're going to win the tag team belts. I worry what happens after that. Because long term, these are your guys who are going to be the future of the WWE. Not Randy Orton. Not John Cena. These are the guys who are going to be your future. And you better start building some of these guys to be who you want them to be. Or we're not going to have anybody when these guys retire. So a great match. I think that, hey, listen, the right team won. We know what they're setting up for. All in all, I'm okay with it, but I'm very, very, very cautious about the way they're using Black and Ricochet, Mike.
I am too, and the ending of this story has to be, you know, Ricochet and Black with those titles in the air, you know. That has to be the end of the story. Now, how long they hold the titles, it's up in the air, but that has to be the end of the story that they're telling right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But as Derek is saying, well, maybe they'll go against the Usos. You know, maybe they didn't win against the Revival. Maybe they'll go against the Usos at WrestleMania, which means they're going to be at both shows. Well, okay, so they're going to be on both shows. And explain to me the logic. So they're the only tag team, because they're special, why? That get to say, well, we didn't win the Raw tag team belts. Let's go over to SmackDown, try that. How come Chad Gable and Bobby Roode can't do that? How come New Day can't come over and try to win the Raw belts? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It makes it appear as though if you're an NXT athlete, you can balance between two brands. Well, then, why? If that's the case, then why don't these guys who used to be in NXT say, I was an NXT guy, I didn't get to do that? It's ridiculous. It's done because WWE feels they want you to see these guys on both shows. That's how much they think of them. Oh, we're going to put these guys on both shows so that you're always seeing them. You're seeing them every single week. We can get a bigger build-up quicker for them there. But you can't get a conducive storyline that way. Now, it's different for the female tag team because they don't have enough tag teams. Of course, they're going to have to go back and forth. But not Aleister Black and Ricochet. Why should they be allowed to? As soon as you become the number one contender for something, you should say, well, then that's your brand. Period. End of conversation. Otherwise, it looks like they're getting special treatment. Guess who else looked like they were getting special treatment and ended up getting booed out of the building for it and their career almost ruined? Roman Reigns. When Roman Reigns looked like he was getting special treatment for a while there, the fans turned on them and said, well, this is dumb. Only he gets to do it. Oh, only he gets to be in every single thing. Only he gets the best. Okay, well, then they're going to do the same thing then. You're running the risk of having the fans say, okay, as much as I like them, I'm beginning to resent the fact that they're the only ones who can do it. Who do they think they are? You don't want that. I'm telling you, you don't want it. Again, I'm saying this not because I don't like Aleister Black and Ricochet. If you go back on these shows, I was a guy saying Aleister Black should have been up here a year ago. But I worry when the WWE uses people like this that they're just using them up. Let me get whatever I can out of them and then throw them aside and call more people up. Let's call up Undisputed Era, and all of a sudden Aleister Black and Ricochet are last year's news because the Undisputed Era are here. I don't want to see that. These are guys you should be banking your future on and saying, look, five-year plan, not five-month plan. Anyway, let's move on. And let's go to the, I guess we'll go to the actual title match, which is Kevin Owens versus Daniel Bryan, and guess who they throw in? Mustafa Ali. I felt bad for Mustafa Ali because he got booed out of the building because the fans wanted to see Kofi. This, however, is a necessary evil because the more the fans start chanting Kofi, Kofi, the more Vince McMahon is laughing and clapping his hands backstage because this angle is working. The fans are eager now to see Kofi. They're angry. We want Kofi. We demand Kofi. We won't settle for anything less than Kofi. Good. Then that's going to be a really great WrestleMania, isn't it? So the fans played right into Vince McMahon's hands. If the fans think for 1 minute that they were saying, uh-oh, we shouldn't have never done that, the fans aren't accepting this match. No, no, they knew you weren't going to accept the match. They knew you were going to chant for Kofi. That's what they wanted you to do. They played you like a fiddle. But I did feel sorry for Mustafa Ali because at the end of the day, that was kind of his spot. And his career definitely suffered a setback. There's no other way to look at it. Will he bounce back? Yeah, he'll bounce back. But he had his moment, and his moment was the knees cut out from underneath him on his moment. He's sort of the real-life Kofi Kingston. He got his knees cut right out from under him by an injury. So the fans, they weren't really into this match that much. This is not the best use of Kevin Owens because you've added the third guy. And then the minute you added Mustafa Ali, I said, well, I wonder who's going to get pinned. Because it's sure as hell not going to be Kevin Owens. And it's sure as hell not going to be Daniel Bryan. So now it just amounts to how are they going to do this? Kevin Owens tried hard. Harder than I've seen Kevin Owens try in a very, very long time. Kevin Owens pulled everything out of his hat. Because I think Kevin Owens rightfully knows, I got to get over. And in this particular spot, it's very hard to get over because the only thing the fans want is Kofi. So he did everything he possibly could. Mustafa Ali, not as much experience under his belt. I think he buckled under the weight of not getting a great reaction and panicked a bit and probably didn't do as well as he should have. Daniel Bryan was his usual good self. What are you going to say? I mean, you know what's going to happen. You know Daniel Bryan's walking out of there the champion. And you know it's to set up Kofi Kingston. Now, whether KO has anything to do with the match, maybe he will. Maybe even Mustafa Ali will. Maybe they'll do a four-way. I don't know where they're going with this. I do know Kofi Kingston will be at WrestleMania to go for the championship. That I know. Aside from that, I don't know who else or what else is going to happen. But nobody came out. There were no surprises like people thought. Oh, there could be a Luke Harper. There could be a Sami Zayn. There could be there wasn't any of that, Mike. So it just was what it was.
There wasn't any of it. And look, the first 10 minutes or so of the match was Kofi, Kofi, Kofi by the crowd. But once the crowd saw that Owens was trying really hard, the Kofi chants kind of died down, and you heard a few Owens, let's go Owens, come on Kevin, KO, 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 you know. You heard some of that stuff after about the 10 and a half minute mark of the match, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a tribute to Kevin Owens, who worked very, very hard in this match. Todd, it was a good match, but it was one of these matches, as I just told Derek in the chat room, this is chapter 4 of an 8-chapter story. It's not the climax, so you can't expect it to act like the climax. This is not the end of the movie. This is the middle of the movie. So the middle of the movie doesn't have that big buildup. So it was what it was.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a big build up for Owens and Mustafa Ali and Daniel Bryan. Like you said, there was no surprises. There was no Bray Wyatt, no Sami Zayn, no Luke Harper. It was just a plain old match. And
it was a good match, but it wasn't great. And let me just say this about the fans. The fans have changed. Fans want instant gratification, and you can't have it. If that's what you want, then Daniel Bryan is right when he calls you all fickle. I like Ricochet and I like Black, so they got to be the champions now. I like Kofi, so he has to be the champion now. I don't want to wait for it. Don't tell me a story involved it. Just give him the belt. And then 2 weeks later, I don't like him anymore. I like him. Put the belt on him now. No story, just now. You're robbing yourself of exactly what professional wrestling is supposed to be, and that's the story. If you go to a movie, and in the very first scene, there's a bad guy, and he breaks into your house, and he shoots your dog, and kills your wife, and rapes your daughter, and then in the second scene, you run over him with a car 18 times, and drag him down the street, and then the next 15 scenes, you're just going about your life. Going to the park, going to the funeral, going to the hospital, going to jail. That's not much of a story, is it? You got to wait to the end of the movie to get what you want. And everything that happens in between the guy who home invades and does all those horrible things and the guy getting what's coming to him is the buildup. Well, we're in the buildup. So Kofi can't be the champion right now. Aleister Black and Ricochet can't be the champions right now because you're in the middle of the buildup. Don't be so quick to try to get to the last chapter of the story and miss the nice things that happen during the buildups. Because if you do, you're cheating yourself. Nobody reads chapter one of a story and then reads the end. And says, oh, to hell with everything that happens in the middle. Who the hell cares? I just want to see what happens to the guy who did all these bad things in chapter one. Okay. Well, that's a hell of a way to read a book. And that's what modern fans want. Tomorrow, I promise you, if another tag team came in, Undisputed Era came in to the WWE, fans would be like, to hell with Black and Ricochet. I want them the champions right now. You can't have it that way. Let's just all relax and enjoy the story, okay? Calm down. Now, I'm with you if they take us on this journey and then Kofi doesn't win. Because then it's like the guy saying, well, I'm going to get the guy who killed my wife and my dog and raped my daughter, and then at the end the guy gets away. Well, there's no point of watching the movie then. You didn't give us anything. The guy got away. That's a hell of a movie. So that's why I say don't paint yourself in the corner if you don't want Kofi to be the champion. Here's the thing. I firmly believe they want Kofi to be the champion. I firmly believe it. I don't think he'll be a champion long, but I think they want to break that ground. And I think they've decided this is the guy. Because if they don't put it on him now with the fans this supportive, then that stigma is always going to be on their head of, how come you didn't? He was one of the most popular guys in the Federation, and you purposely didn't give it to him, so it must be because he was black, and you didn't want a black champion. The WWE's painting themselves in the corner with this. You could argue we didn't give it to Ahmed Johnson because he was hurting people for real. You can't have a champion who's going out there and hurting people for real. We didn't give it to Mark Henry because, well, we just didn't think he was that good on the mic and he couldn't do long matches because of his body structure and he just wasn't the guy we wanted there. Okay, well, how are you going to argue now with Kofi? It's going to be very hard. So if you bring us to this point and then say, nope, we're still not doing it, expect the backlash of, Further proof the WWE doesn't want a black champion. I'm guaranteeing you that's going to happen. And the WWE knows it, and that's why I firmly believe Kofi will be the champion. Which is an amazing story, really. Anyway, Charlotte and Becky. Here's where things fall apart a little bit for me. If Becky Lynch cannot hobble down to that ring any better than she hobbled down to that ring, then Jesus Christ, of course she can't out-wrestle a match. And she's not going to get better in 4 weeks after Charlotte Flair beats on it even more. She's been hobbling around on that crutch for I don't know how long. Is her leg actually broken? It's getting a little old now. You know, John Cena can come back and, oh, I've had surgery and all kinds of things in 3 weeks. She can't get off the crutches in 4 months. So, rightfully, Charlotte Flair takes on most of the match. She's beaten the hell out of Becky Lynch for the most part. And just as we predicted, here comes Ronda Rousey running down to the ringside, throws one or two punches, and then just sits in the corner and smirks. I don't know why. You'd think she'd want to go after Charlotte Flair too, but no. And Charlotte Flair, which I don't understand, doesn't get angry, really. She's just like, what happened? Oh, I see. I'm disqualified. Ah, that means Becky Lynch gets in the WrestleMania match, doesn't it? Oh, well, that's life. I mean, that's kind of the way it went. I don't understand the reactions of anybody. Charlotte Flair should have been right after Ronda Rousey for doing that to her. Or Ronda should have attacked Charlotte as well. If she couldn't catch Ronda Rousey because Rousey jumped out of the ring or whatever, Charlotte should be irate. Instead, she's just standing there dumbfounded like, yeah. Oh, boy. Sucks for me, doesn't it? I thought the reaction was terrible, Mike, and it was illogical as well.
It was illogical, especially coming from the daughter of Ric Flair. You know? I mean, her reaction should have been. I mean, what would have Ric Flair done in this exact same situation? He would have jumped out of the ring and went after Sting or Lex Luger or whomever it might have been at the time. You know, that's exactly what he would have done. And why didn't, like you said, why didn't Charlotte do this?
I don't know. It's perplexing. I'm sitting there waiting for part two. I'm like, something's going to happen. Either Ronda's going to attack Charlotte or Charlotte's going to attack Ronda or they're both going to attack Becky or I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But something's going to happen. Nothing happened. And I'm scratching my head going, oh, okay, what the hell happened? Todd, that was just weird.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It is weird right there. And like you said, I kind of knew that Ronda was going to come attack Becky Lynch
or
Charlotte.
Yeah, no, we knew that was happening. I just, the reaction behind it was weird. I know we didn't mention Bayley and Sasha versus Nia Jax and Tamina. I almost forgot about it. Suffice to say, everything, I might as well be Nostradamus when it comes to them. Boring match. Nia Jax fucked up. What else is new? Tamina Snuka is boring. Nia Jax botches. That's it. That's going to be every match they're in, folks. That's it. The only thing we can possibly get out of this that I say, okay, well, it's something, is that Tamina Snuka attacked Beth Phoenix or vice versa. Beth Phoenix hits Tamina Snuka when she gets in her face. Okay, well, again, it's a branch on a tree. All right, but goddamn, it's a very low-hanging tree. It's more like a bush. Because if you took a poll right now of WWE fans, and they love Beth Phoenix, but if you took a poll of WWE fans and say, do you want to see this match at WrestleMania, Beth Phoenix and Natty against Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax, 95% of fans would be like, hell no. Hell no. And the reason? Because Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax are boring. That's why. It's not because we don't like Beth Phoenix or Natty. And it's not that I don't appreciate the idea of a legend coming back in the ring for WrestleMania. Okay. But not this way. Not this way. Because fans don't care. That's the problem. You've picked the wrong people. I know you got to do something with Nia and Tamina. I know you got to do something. But for the life of me, I don't know why you have to. I'll tell you what I do with them. I show them the door. One is unsafe and the other one's boring. Is there anything more to say? Did you see the way Nia Jax threw Sasha Banks over that table? Sasha Banks never hit the table. And then she tried to do that Samoan drop thing and dropped Bayley. It's just ridiculous. It's getting to the point of absurdity. Just forget it. I mean, somewhere, it must be Afa, Sika, and the whole crew must have naked pictures of Vince McMahon with a sheep or something. Because they just will refuse to not use anyone who has that bloodline. They refuse. Oh, Nia's on safe? Too bad. You're fighting her. Crickets chirping in the arena when Tamina comes out? Too bad. She's going over. Okay, well, I don't know. Awful. Mike, this was not a good match.
It really wasn't a good match. It's not the tag team champions' fault. They can only work with what they got, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not Bailey's fault, and it's not really Sasha's fault either. But I'm beginning to think maybe the women's tag team belts might have been a mistake. Because once again, you're isolating people who probably should be solo workers. The Iconics, as Derek is saying, yeah, they're a tag team. Great. The Riot Squad, yeah, they're a team. Great. Not Ruby, but the other two. Great. Maybe Mandy and Sonya, great. But don't throw people together that you probably should be using as a solo. And that's my problem with Aleister Black and Ricochet, too. Just, you got enough tag teams that are really tag teams. Now, the women's division doesn't. But then you either bring some up, or you just don't have a tag team belt for the women's division because you don't have enough women. But I'm sorry to tell you that I find Sasha Banks a hell of a lot less interesting in a tag team than I do as a solo worker. I don't think she fits in tag team wrestling that well. They don't have any tag team moves. Their tag team moves consist of Bayley's holding her hand while she walks on a rope. It's not like they went into the gym and said, let's come up with a whole bunch of different tag team specialty moves. No, they didn't. So I'd much rather see a bona fide team like the Riot Squad, or the Iconics have that belt. Problem is, you don't have enough of those teams, do you? They'd just be fighting each other constantly. So it's time to import some women tag teams, I guess, and take the tag team division seriously. The thing is, you don't even take the men's tag team division seriously. How the hell are we supposed to believe you're going to take the women's one? So I don't know. This leaves us with just the Shield. I'm not going to lie, it's a pretty cool moment to hear the old Shield music, and they come down from the stands and the classic gear. That's pretty cool. And Dean Ambrose certainly wrestled this match like a guy who was really excited to do this. I don't know, because he knows it's his last time, or because he has a renewed interest in staying after this is happening. I don't know. But Dean Ambrose certainly let it all hang out. But irregardless, this match was about one thing and one thing only. And that is, Roman Reigns is back. That was the central focus of this match. Roman Reigns is back as an in-ring competitor, and he's at the top of his game again. No one took seriously the threat of Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley, and Drew McIntyre. No matter how many times Corey Graves says, this is the new Shield, these are the guys of the power. Bobby Lashley lost to a 180-pound guy. Baron Corbin's lost to everybody four times. And Drew McIntyre's been on a losing streak as a solo guy. How are they the balance of power? Is that what happened when the Shield first got here? Did they all lose individual matches? Did they all get their asses beat? No. They dominated for a year, and you see what the crowd reaction is even now, don't you? And that's why I say you can't go 50-50 booking with people who you want to be big. The Shield was not booked 50-50. And look what you got out of them. To this day, years later, Baron Corbin's worse than 50-50. Bobby Lashley's 50-50 at best. And Drew McIntyre's on his way to 50-50, if not already there. So they're not going to be iconic people a year from now unless you change that. People are going to be like, who the hell are they? They don't even have a team name. So it's ridiculous. That's why everybody's rooting for the Shield. And they handled it perfectly. The match was booked very well. They let Rollins and Ambrose take things outside while Roman Reigns stayed in so they could feature Roman Reigns. They had Drew McIntyre take the Shield bomb through the table. And then they had that great moment where Baron Corbin is getting to his feet and realizes, I'm surrounded by the Shield and I'm basically screwed. Seth Rollins gets so excited, he drops the MF and has to be bleeped. And those guys were genuinely excited to be doing what they were doing. That was not fake. They enjoyed the hell out of that moment. Now, they either enjoyed the hell out of that moment because they knew this is one of the last times we're going to be doing it. It's not the very last time, because they get these guys booked for other shows as a team. Or they knew, look, this marks a milestone in our career. We came full circle. This is where we began, and now we're kind of going to go on our individual journeys here. But we got here together, and we helped each other along the way to get to this point. Whether it was fighting each other or befriending each other or whatever it happened to be, they all came in together. They've all succeeded together. They all take a look at the fan reaction and say, we've been here how long, and we're still getting this. So that says a lot. But that says a lot about the way they were booked. And I don't see booking like that much anymore. So overall, Mike, I think it was a good match. I don't know if it's the one you want. I guess you wanted to end it, the pay-per-view, with it because of the Shield moment. But it was anticlimactic in the sense that no one ever thought Baron Corbin's team was winning this.
No, you're right. And the thing is think about this. It may not be the last time we see them for the time being. If what we're speculated is true, that he's going to want to take some time off, that's Dean Ambrose, you know, then you still get Rollins possibly as the champion, and you still get Roman Reigns on his way back possibly to being a champion. Look, this is Remember, I mentioned this a few months back. There was a table for three that those three guys sat down, and they all said they missed being together, and they liked the three-man tag matches. So, again, that's a storyline.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're all going to probably go their individuals, but that doesn't mean – you see, there's so much worth in this. There's so much worth in this because you could do this ad infinitum. Go their separate ways. When they need to, they're together. Go their separate ways. When they need each other, they're together. It's a very unique deal. It's an all-for-one and one-for-all type thing where, look, we all have our individual goals. But if the other person needs us, we're there. It's like a shield for life type thing. Yeah, they've turned on each other and had all that crap. But the bottom line is they've always come back together. And they could do this forever. I mean, literally, they could do this forever. And it would not slow their solo careers one bit. And the fans would still react the same way when the Shield got together. So the WWE has something really good here. The creation of this Shield thing and how it has lasted this long and is still this popular is a tribute to the way they were booked. But they were booked very, very, very strong. Both as individuals and as a team. You need to do more of this. Since the Shield, the only person who's been booked really strong was Braun Strowman, and he wasn't even in the pay-per-view. And I don't know what the hell he's going to do for WrestleMania. And he's kind of irrelevant. So for all that strong booking, you kind of blew it on him. That's a shame. Let that be a lesson to the WWE. You need to have a long-term plan with some of these people, and that is why I'm saying don't call up the NXT guys until you're ready and you have a long-term plan for them. Of course, the long-term plan can fall apart. You could bring up Velveteen Dream tomorrow, and he could fall flat on his face. And you can't just say, well, I don't know. We have a 3-year plan for him to be this, so he's still going to be. No, you have to be ready to say, okay, well, abandoned ship. But that was the plan, and that's why we brought them up. Right now, they're just saying, bring them up because no reason. We need fresh faces. Oh, wait a minute. They've been here 2 months. They're not fresh anymore. Forget them. Bring more people up. And then when they get stale, bring more people up. This isn't loaves of bread. These are workers. The only reason they're getting stale is because you're booking them stale. Anderson and Gallows are ready to walk out the door. Do you think those guys are stale? And if they are stale, why are they stale? They're stale because you booked them stale. Why is Bobby Roode stale? Because you booked him stale. These are all quality workers. And you're booking them terrible. And then you wonder. I'm not impressed because you're booking Aleister Black and Ricochet to win all the time. I'm not impressed. You could bring up anybody and book them to win all the time. You could bring up the worst wrestler that you got in your federation and book him to win all the time, and he's going to be popular because he's a winner, and winners are popular. I'm impressed because they're good workers, and I want to see their individual work. And I want you to tell me, look, we brought up Aleister Black and Ricochet and Heavy Machinery and Lacey Evans, all the people you brought up, and EC3, we brought them up because we have a plan. Our plan may not go perfectly, but this is what the plan is as it stands. You can't do that because you don't have any plan. You never even planned to have Aleister Black and Ricochet be a tag team. You brought them up as individuals, and they had individual matches. And then suddenly, no, they got to be a team. We need more teams. Then bring up a team. If you need more teams, bring up a team. If you need more individuals, bring up individuals. How come EC3 is not in a team then? How come EC3 and Bobby Lashley aren't a team? Ebony and Ivory. There's your team. They're not because you apparently have a plan. You had a plan for Lashley when you brought him in. And when you saw it wasn't working, you said, okay, well, we're going to add Lio Rush to the mix. And you called an audible on that. It started to work. You had a plan for him. Where is your plan for EC3? Where is it? Where is your plan for Aleister Black and Ricochet other than, well, let them win the tag team belts until they get stale and then they'll be doing the job on pre-shows? I want to see long-term plans before their name is in the mix to come up. A writer should sit down and say, look, we're bringing up Ricochet. Here's our plan. He's going to do this. If this gets over, we're going in this direction. His ultimate feud's going to be with this guy. We're leading him up to this pay-per-view with this guy. Okay, sounds good. Bring him up. Let's see. Who's in the locker room? Yeah, I like the way that guy's outfit is. Him. Up. You, with a weird haircut. Up. What's that guy's name again? Aleister Black, sir. Oh, you, yeah, Black. I don't know. What's your gimmick? It doesn't matter. Just get in line. Get yourself over if you can. If you can't, well, whatever. Doesn't matter. There's more people here. That's not the way I want them called up. That's not the way they want to be called up. They want to be called up and told, we have a plan for you. That's what they did with Lars Sullivan. Oh, they had Lars Sullivan's plan all worked out, didn't they? He's going to come in and do X, Y, and Z. He's going to face John Cena at WrestleMania. He's going to beat John Cena at WrestleMania. And he's going to start this big push toward a title, I guess. You had it all laid out for Lars Sullivan, but you didn't have it all laid out for everybody else? EC3's already finished. EC3's done. Okay? He shows up. He loses to Dean Ambrose. Then he beats Dean Ambrose, or he beats Dean Ambrose first and then loses. And now he's relegated to trying to hit on girls backstage. That's his worth to this company. Trying to pick up a girl. And then you expect me to have any faith that they're going to do anything well with any of these NXT call-ups? And what happens when guys in the back, like Anderson and Gallows, like Sanity, say, look, I like Aleister Black and Ricochet. They're nice guys. They're great workers, but I'm a nice guy and I'm a good worker. How come I wasn't treated like that? When Sanity came up, they didn't get to go to Raw and SmackDown and Raw and SmackDown and Raw and SmackDown. They basically didn't get to do anything. So then resentment starts and they say, how come these guys and not us? The Revival got called up. They didn't go bouncing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's not conducive to their longevity, is what I'm saying. And it's not conducive to any of the call-ups' longevity. Once again, you got Lacey Evans walking down and waving. How is this helping Lacey Evans? How is EC3 trying to pick up Mandy Rose helping EC3? So let me get this straight. He wasn't overly interested in picking up Alexa Bliss. He wasn't aggressively pursuing Alexa Bliss, but he is around trying to aggressively pursue Mandy Rose. Unless this leads to EC3 and Mandy Rose having some sort of a bond, then it's worthless. If you're going to tell me, well, the long-term plan is EC3 is going to be Mandy Rose's boyfriend and sort of her valet and vice versa, and they're going to form a little couple team and then watch each other's back, okay. I think it's a lousy idea, but okay. But anything less than that, I don't know what the hell you're doing. So overall, Mike, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I have a lot of faith in any of their NXT call-ups because I don't think they have any direction.
Right. Look, this is the exact reason why Lana went off on Ronda Rousey. Because
right.
It seems like there are certain people that they have a plan for and nobody else they have a plan for. And that was the point of Lana's thing on YouTube, you know? That was the point. Well, if you're planning on taking me off of Total Divas, then what are you going to do with me? Well, nothing. What's your plan?
Right, we have
nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's exactly correct. They have no plan. So, and that's what makes people bitter backstage. That's what makes people want to leave. It's ridiculous. If you're a wrestler and you say, look, we don't have any plan for you. You guys are going to be the jabrones for the next 6 months and build other people up. At least you know. At least you know. But when you don't know, you're just like, get in line and we don't know what we're doing with you. You might be a bum. You might be a champion. We don't know. Then, yeah, there's a lot of resentment there. I don't know. Anyway, let's rate the pay-per-view. Truthfully, it's very tough to rate because, again, it's the foundation to the house, and it's a foundation that's being built way too late because you only got 4 weeks till WrestleMania. This should have been happening months ago. But it didn't, and at least you're trying. At least two of these matches were well above average. At least two of them, maybe three, were well above average. Only one was a total bomb. There were some branches on the trees. There were some efforts made to create storylines. I can't fault them for that. And they've gotten Kofi Kingston over. Whether you like Kofi Kingston or you do not like Kofi Kingston, they have gotten Kofi Kingston over huge. Now, some would argue at the expense of others, and I'd agree with that. But they still did it. So for that alone, and the couple of good matches that there were, I'm going to give this a B-. I don't think it was a bad pay-per-view at all. I enjoyed it, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I enjoyed it, too, but I think I gotta go a little bit worse, you know, maybe a C+, you know, somewhere around there. And, you know, it's like what you were saying earlier, you know, the reason why the first Marine movie worked is the storytelling in that movie. We were introduced to John Cena's character and his wife, and they step by step, they put them in that situation where she gets kidnapped by the bad guys, and he has to go after them. You know, that was the story, you know. And the WWE with his wrestlers, with the storylines, do not tell enough of this that type of story that they tell in some of their movies that they do.
Well, the problem is they think the fans have a short attention span, and I used to get on the WWE about that and say, you're wrong. You're devaluing your fans. You're saying fans won't pay attention. They have short attention span. It looks like the WWE was right because everybody's complaining. We wanted Kofi to be the champion tonight. Oh, really? You didn't want to have that whole story play out in front of you? That's weird. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you there, C.
Okay, so everybody's giving it a B+ or a C. It wasn't a bad pay-per-view. It laid some foundation for a few things. We'll see where these things go, though. What the WWE needs to do right now is capitalize on the Shield's popularity, number one. Number two, they've got to get Kevin Owens over much better than he is right now. They got to get him over because he's going to be a major factor in the coming years. You've got to get the women's tag team belts to mean something by getting more women in and more teams. And you've got to solidify both tag team divisions. Both. And not by just bouncing one team back and forth while the others have to stay. That doesn't work for me. So we'll see what the WWE does tonight. I know Finn Balor's got the title match against Bobby Lashley. I'm not really overly looking forward to that. We'll see what else they do. Cross your fingers, folks. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and we're late, okay? We're in a taxi going 90 miles an hour trying to make it to the airport. We'll talk to you tomorrow with the Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.